Welcome back. You're listening to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. French fans celebrating victory in that game last Saturday. But they weren't doing it just anywhere. They were crowded around that unmissable New Zealand symbol, the giant rugby ball at the foot of the Eiffel Tower. Although the ball has often been written off here as corporate PR, there's another story, the bunch of creative New Zealanders who put it together. We caught up with Bruce Ferguson, who directed the movie that screens on the inside of the giant inflatable ball. He and his partner Mike Hodgson travel the world making high-end video installations. I asked him whether they'd ever done anything like this.
No, this is the first time any of us had done anything full dome, like a 180-degree kind of fisheye movie. So it had its challenges for sure, but it's like any job that we've done. It's always something new, something with a challenge, something that we can really sink our teeth into. It's a lot of fun.
So yeah, because it did look like from the clips that you've posted to YouTube that there was the potential for a couple of points to all go horribly wrong.
Yeah, because we couldn't see exactly how it was going to be until we were there in this amazing structure, which was the inflatable rugby ball in Paris. So we built a scale version of the ball, and we projected onto that. It was about a sixth of the size, and it gave us a fair idea. But it's actually seeing it there in Paris, seeing the movie playing back was a completely different experience because you were right inside it and you could look right around. And at times it felt as though there wasn't a screen there at all, but you were actually right in a virtual reality.
And the project itself was directed by Mike Mizrahi, was it?
Yeah. Mike and Mari Adams got the ball rolling, and they pulled the team together, wrote the script for the movie, and then I directed the movie, and then Mike did the sound design, Jed Town did the composition, soundtrack, various people were involved there. But Mike and Mario are very much the heart of it.
It was interesting because I think it was seen initially when it hit the news here, as very much some corporate thing. And yet there were actually some pretty interesting creative people involved, weren't there?
Yeah, the idea was to try and keep it away from being another tourism roadshow kind of affair, and make it more of an experience, something that people would talk to people about, and word of mouth would spread, hopefully, and people would come and want to see it. So it was a heavy art dose in there, you could say.
What was the content of the movie that you directed to screen on the inside of it?
It was really a ride through New Zealand. It was who we are. Why are we so good at playing rugby? Should I give people a taste of what they can expect when they come here, or if they come down for 2011 for the Rugby World Cup? There's a virtual car was one part of the movie where we filmed. We drove all around New Zealand filming with multiple cameras on the roof and then projected that with the frame of a car. It was actually an old Morris Minor. So we're in this gigantic car traveling through New Zealand. And yeah, it actually really worked. It was brilliant. But it's like all these things. You never really know until you're in there and it's running.
It strikes me as a sort of a shame that more New Zealanders didn't actually get to see that.
Yeah, well, hopefully they will get to see it. The idea is that the ball's going to keep moving around the world, go to several other locations before actually coming to Auckland for the Rugby World Cup in 2011.
Wow, so that's a really long time frame, isn't it? This is a long project.
It's a long project, yeah, and it all came together very quickly. The beginning of this year was the first that I heard of it, and everything was very, very rapid, and so, yeah, we just pulled it together.
And, of course, you had the big night of the All Blacks versus France test match. Can you describe how the night unfolded?
Well, it was a surreal experience, you know, being at the base of the Eiffel Tower in a giant rugby ball watching the rugby. And it was a great night because it was the cruise night. It was the first night that the crew could relax and reap the fruits of their toil. So it was a shame. The result was a real shame. But the reaction by the Parisians out the front of the ball was almost worth it for me, because I was doing a behind-the-scenes documentary, and we could hear this incredible roaring going on. I don't know if it was coming out of the sound system or what. And I went outside, and it looked as though the whole Champ de Mars right up to the Eiffel Tower was filled with like a riot of people. But it was a good number of people out there, and I uploaded those movies onto YouTube. If you do a search on the YouTube for Rugby Ball Paris, it'll come up. You'll see it, along with a whole lot of other movies.
So the crowd came down after the game was over?
Yeah, well, it was funny, actually, because they were outside all on their cell phones. And then as soon as the game was over and the whistle blew, they immediately jumped up and down in the air and started running towards the ball. So it was a real close game. And, it's just the telecommunications just allowed it to just happen all over Paris. All over Paris you could hear the roaring. I had a friend who was back at the apartment, and he said he heard Paris just erupt at that very moment.
And it all looked pretty friendly. I mean, people were pretty enthusiastic and possibly a bit drunk, but
yeah, I got scratched a little bit, but I mean, I don't think it was intentional. But they were like really, really going off. But there was nothing malicious there, really. I mean, we had to be really concerned about the security of the rugby ball, because it's, even if, you know, it's just pack mentality. You never know what's going to happen when there's that many people together, like really excited and quite drunk. But no, the spirits were really, 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 really good. They were high-spirited, but they were very gracious, I think, in their win. All the French people that I met in Paris were very, you know, they still very much respect the All Blacks and consider them, an incredibly talented team.
Of course, the assumption was that the All Blacks were going to stay in the competition longer. What impact on this project did it have, the fact that they went out that night?
Yeah, that was interesting, because it really, the organisation, the PR behind the ball, really went into full gear as soon as the whistle blew, and I was involved in meetings straight away within a minute of the whistle being blown. And what had been decided was to project a laser message onto the side of the ball, basically that says "Bravo France, you win some, you lose some." But New Zealand will always be magnifique, and see you in 2011. So the next night we had that up on the ball, and I think it was a really good gesture. So it was about trying to turn it around a little bit in our favour, because of course now the focus has gone off the All Blacks and, you know, the Australians and the others, more onto the teams that are going to be taking part in the semi-finals. So, it's really important that the ball maintains its profile. But if you go there and you see the ball in that location, there's just no way you can miss it. It's just right there. And the queues are really big as well. There are lots of people queuing up to go in there, and all the response and reaction to the experience was really positive from the people there, mostly French people coming through.
So where does the ball go next, and do you rejoin it at any point?
I'm hoping to get to go and follow it around the world, but as yet nothing's been officially decided about where it's going to go. But yeah, I'm hoping that it's going to move on to other impressionable parts of the world.
Bruce Ferguson talking about the giant rugby ball in Paris. After the break, another step in the story of energy.